everyone, and welcome to Jeff's G Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? This morning, I woke up to a router problem, a massive router problem that had messed up my network. It had deleted all whitelist IPs. I have a system of very fine whitelist IPs that basically make my system unattackable. That's why I can have a website like jeffg.world and that many haters without it ever going offline. But this morning, and this is why Elon Musk must listen. Yeah, Speaker's Corner says it was the Jews. No, but hear me out. Hear me out. This never happened to me. There was a hardware reset with some permission was given to my router, and my router is physically in my house. It's right in my face. I know that no one had access to it physically, but someone with some control resetted the settings of it, and it's like it's not penetrable by IP. It's not penetrable from the outside network other than if you have someone at the ISP level, because despite all the good security measures I can implement, there's one thing I don't control. It's that these ISPs, they have direct access to your router. I mean, sometimes I speak with my ISP and they're like, oh yeah, we see your router. Oh yeah, we see you have 13 devices connected. And it's like, well, you shouldn't know this. But yeah, they do have access to the router through some back door. So, and I just want to point out that this is 2 days after I have revealed my IP to the Israelis. You know, Elon Musk forced me as a monetized Twitter holder. Elon Musk forced me to authenticate with Authentix, and it's an Israeli company, and they probably are involved in following whoever criticizes Israel. And this is the problem that Elon is putting us, all of us, into. It's how do I know? How do I know that it's not this? Because of all my life, I've never seen this router be erased like this. It was software erased and reset to factory setting. So for those of you who couldn't get the MP3 tonight, sorry. Like there was like a 10 hours during which my website wasn't responding. But how do I know that they're not messing up with my IP that they just got? This is the problem Elon Musk doesn't seem to understand. And now he seems to be willing to engage because he said, I'll investigate. But the thing is, there are limits to your investigation. The fact is, you could have these people at Authentix say, we won't do anything with your information. We will protect your information. And yet they are not bound by any U.S. law. They are not bound by anything other than Jewish interests since they're located in Israel. Strange Channel says, mine was reset too. I had to log back in with the default password for my device. And did it happen during the night? That's and are you with Bell? That's an interesting potentiality that there was a system-wide either hack or system-wide kind of update of the firmware. That's interesting. But see, you never know. And when you've been a dissident for a long enough time, you know that none of these things are random. Like people want you to believe that, they want you to believe that, oh, the misery that happens in your life are just acts, is just random. I'm sorry, it's not random that it's always a fucking local bureaucrat of some sort that doxes me, that exposes my address, oops, accidentally, and oops, oh, we cannot remove it from the internet. It's always a fucking city administrator, a fat fucking bureaucrat that, we will have a public discussion in which we expose JF's address. And oops, oh, we forgot it in a PDF, and now it's on the city website, and no, we can't remove it because it's an official proceeding. Oh, sorry. oh, sorry, we leaked information that led to some hit pieces being written about you. None of this is random. And oh, sorry, you can't pass the border because now we're reading the media hit pieces about you and we think you're a murderer. None of this is random. And this is the problem when Elon gives everyone's addresses to the Israelis. You have a bunch of people who are on a quest of vengeance, who are convinced that they are chosen people, and they don't care about finding indirect ways to hurt you. And when you're a dissident long enough in your life, you'll realize that none of these things happen randomly. It's always a fucking gay up in just the exact way you could imagine. It's a bunch of fucking dirty basement dwellers in Discord sessions. The gayest shit, I swear. Because when you investigate once and you find them, you find their little dirty nest of rats, you realize what kind of force is after justice, after truth in this world. And then you begin to feel discomfort. Let's phrase it that way. Real Base Talk says, X is nice for the spaces sometimes to listen while I do other things. Oh yeah, well, I don't listen to the spaces. Just spaces do not cross my intellectual threshold. Spaces do not have not reached the point where they are capable of organizing it good enough that it's worth listening to any of them. Ah, I began to dislike. DK Shadow found a word for me. Dislike. That's all you can do in Canada. You can dislike. I had my girlfriend try beef tartare. I went to the grocery store today and there was a nice, beautiful red piece of meat. I thought, this is the moment. This is the moment because I have a good eye for quality meat. And I always wait for the cleanest, most beautiful pieces of meat for. And there was one on a good price, $24 for a big sirloin roast. I was like, this is a good quantity of meat for $24. I'm buying. And I introduced my girlfriend to tartare. It was a good tartare. Unfortunately, I was limited with ingredients because she doesn't like onions. Okay. So I put capers and dill pickles, and she proceeded to clean out the capers and dill pickle only to eat the meat. Okay, I am insulted, but okay, I can endure someone who wants to remain ignorant of the full taste of tartare. Then I covered the pieces of meat that I sliced very, very thinly. Very thin slicing. And then I covered them in olive oil. This gives them a shine and it allows the piece of meat to not fully mix with the flavor mix. And there were no chives and no onions in the recipe. So I decided to put fresh dill. So olive oil covering the pieces of meat, a spoon of Dijon mustard, a bunch of Tabasco sauce, two egg yellows, raw, and dill pickles that were finely chopped, dill fresh spices, and capers that were finely chopped. All of this mixed together with a spoon and boom. Then I put some slices of bread in the oven with olive oil, salt, and pepper. And you can eat this immediately. It was good. It was just a good tartare. Well, not well done, like Thai Odyssey says. No, you don't do the tartare well done. You don't cook it at all. Woman, are you interested in this job? Window cleaner. And those are window cleaners who went in the wind because there were strong winds in, was it China? And so they are hanging onto little ropes. Man, When do we get the pay gap resolved? When do we get, here I count five of them flying in the air with their ropes. If there's five of them, there should be at least two or three women. When do we get equity employment in the window cleaning sector? That is my question. My God. Look at them hanging like mosquitoes. Well, you're gonna have to wait for the wind to stop if you want to be reconnected to the building. Cringe Panda says, I'm amazed they don't have robots to do that job. Yeah, maybe a robot with suction pumps. A kind of spider robot. I think they must have something like this. Or even drones. Yeah, I saw drones do it. Flamethrower drones with Windex bottles. Cringe Panda sends a super chat. She says, I predict that once the election circus is over, the free speech era of Twitter will be over again. I think they only let us say a lot there now because it's a way for people to blow off steam and do nothing. It's a good question because I'm not sure Elon is super, super principled. He seems to be showing good signs, like the freeing of Nick Fuentes to me is a major move. But the problem in this business is your speech is always purchasable. And there's always, at some point, someone who's willing to pay for it, a price that Elon can't say no to. Now, he's one of the richest people in the world. If anyone has a shot at saying no to money, it's certainly Elon. But when you are stuck in those deals and this debt and this, you got Tesla shares that are used for backing up the purchase, so you didn't really purchase it with your cash. All of these factors make you a slave of the system in many ways. And if you add to this the pressure coming from Europe legislature, you know, what will happen when Europe says, Elon, you owe us $500 trillion for hate speech? Not only do you owe us this, we'll take it from you, and if you don't pay it, we will take it from Tesla. What do you do when you have Tesla? When you have Tesla industries in Germany, and then the European Union goes after you for your X, and they go after your hate speech, the hate speech of all users on X, and they start claiming that you're constantly violating the law, and they do like they do an Alex Jones out of you. They build a bill that is infinite, basically, trillions of dollars. Then the problem is then the weak businessman that comes in and says, hey, Elon, I have the solution to all of this. Either you continue enduring the pain or you let me buy the free speech off of X. All I'm asking for is a couple of heads, JF, Nick Fuentes, Richard Spencer. I'm willing to pay $2 billion for this. Now, suddenly, it's like, either you take constant punishment and debt and bankruptcy, or you take money and it, all you need to do is ban a couple of people. That's exactly what happened with the old Twitter. The old Twitter got bought. It didn't even get bought at its own interest. It got bought by having its executives be foreign agents with foreign loyalties. And that's all they needed to do. Jan Rushdie has an interesting hypothesis. In French, he says, Emmanuel Macron will announce the official beginning of the Third World War on the day of the debarkment of Normandy with a deployment of an expeditionary force, French force in Ukraine. And he says the scoop came from the journal Redacted. That's an interesting hypothesis. We may be you know, France may be a player in escalating violence toward World War III. It would be very realistic of because France is the kind of power that does this. They always do dirty stuff with the Western powers, siding with the Western powers. That would be a very sad thing, but it could very well happen. Meanwhile, we have escalation of violence in Israel. Israel just got bombarded by Hezbollah, fired from Lebanon. Look at the coverage they were able to do with rockets. It seems that the dispositives to block rockets didn't work. They might have been outnumbered because you have massive fires lighting up across northern Israel. All right, so that is the action in the Middle East. Meanwhile, in Philadelphia, the left eats the left. Black people start a fight at a pride parade. You see, we have a single white man at the middle of all this. So to the extent black people were hitting each other, it's just that they were in conflict as to who should hit the white man. They were fighting each other to get to fight the white man. And how can you be a white man in Philadelphia and expose yourself to this? Leave this place, bro. I'm sure this guy is a far leftist who's like, I truly believe in far leftism. I'm here to defend the gays. But bro, it's not your place anymore. You're going to be targeted for your race. No matter how leftist you are, it's not going to work. When they see your skin color, they will attack you. DC judge gives Paulette Harlow 75 a 2-year sentence for praying outside an abortion mill and mocks her Christian faith. So 2-year sentence for praying in America. That is the America of the Democrats. She was, of course, praying privately, just praying that the baby's soul get to heaven according to her Christian belief. And you cannot pray. You cannot just be there standing silently in front of an abortion clinic anymore. The Democrats have made it a crime. Unbelievable. Unbelievable in the country of the First Amendment. People were sharing this video, another racial attack. This we had seen it many months ago. Ow! Ow! Black men targeting a white student, we had seen this a long time ago. Claudia Sheinbaum has been elected the Jewish president of Mexico. Trudeau pitches strong ties to Claudia Sheinbaum, Mexico's first woman president. Trudeau says he wants to work with Sheinbaum on climate change, international security, gender equality, and reconciliation with indigenous people. It's not looking good. As I shared yesterday at the end of the show, it is extremely worrying. There's positioning of pieces on the board right now that looks like something very nefarious is about to be pulled on various nations. I can't quite know what it is, but to have a Jewish president put up in Mexico, we have a Jewish president in Ukraine. I believe that the lines of a war are currently drawing themselves from Mexico to Ukraine. Something is about to happen. And as soon as she got elected, the Mexico peso dropped. The stocks tumbled on Morena supermajority concerns. I believe that her supermajority is such that well, these concerns at least is that she has too much political power now. So typically, I don't know how it works in Mexico, but in America, a supermajority means you have so many of the votes that you can not only vote new laws, you can rewrite the constitution. So perhaps the companies have started being worried that a very socialist, at the very least, very socialist Mexico will be rising under Jewish power. New guy says, Odyssey screws up when JF gets to the nefarious part. Oy. Odyssey bugging out the last few days just skips back 10 minutes. Does it do this for real? Sorry about this. Hope that you can refresh. And please confirm on the regular chat whenever you can make it work again. I found the wife of iDubbbz, which I talked about a couple of shows ago, and I was like, this is fascinating to me. iDubbbz is like not banned from YouTube. He's monetized on YouTube. And I don't know his subscriber count, but he's easily 10 times bigger than me. And I'm YouTube rich, so iDubbbz must be YouTube fucking millionaire, multi-millionaire. Now, what strikes me is that his wife is fucking ugly. Here's a first look at her. I mean, this is what you get. You're one of the top YouTubers, and this is what you get. And I can't help but compare to my own girlfriend, who is feminine looking, doesn't have tattoos, and it's so sad. These short hair. Look at this. These hair are an offense to femininity.
You know, it's interesting because when I did the rant that like got clipped and shared by like a bunch of people, I did that intentionally to be like ranty and interesting and eye-catching, and like I did it with the intention of like getting it shared. And it's interesting how like
and actually that wasn't the video I had seen that that was leading me to judge her. This was the video where she looks even worse. I mean, come on. You're telling me that this this woman is the best you can score as a top YouTuber, 10x the size of JF.
Commentary YouTubers have no idea what it is to work a normal job, let alone put on a whole event, okay? You have no clue.
And look at her attitude. Nose touching, fuck you to the camera. I mean, she must not be quite, and she must not be very enjoyable to be with.
You fuckers that are looking at this right now, I know that you would fucking cry if I said something to you in real life. I know you would cry. How do I know? Because I've done it to one of you fuckers in real life, and you have cried. Ian keeps me, this is the truth, okay? Ian keeps me on a leash, okay? And I'm okay with that, because I need to be on a leash. I need to be on a leash. A tight leash, to be honest.
I need to be on a leash. I mean, she must have such behavioral problems. iDubbbz. You have to use your privilege when you're a big YouTuber. Use your privilege. Get a better girlfriend. No behavioral problems. More feminine. You can do it, iDubbbz. It's possible. They will let you do it. This video by Ho Matt on YouTube says Yan Maj Chong. Yes, Ho Matt can be very good sometimes because he takes a video that is originally some thoughts about dating from females, and he explains all of the math behind, if you will, the dynamic behind.
Actually, dating a high-value man takes a totally different kind of woman.
Right. It requires someone with value. If you date somebody who brings a lot of value to the table, that person is going to expect you to bring similar value to the table. That's what people don't seem to get about the table argument. This is not just money. So men will say, "What do you bring to the table?" And then women will say, "I am the table," because they don't want to be expected to contribute financially. But that's not the only kind of value that there is. There's quality time, there's affection, there's conversation, there's acts of service. You have to start thinking of relationships as a transaction of everything that he does for you and everything that you do for him. So if you want to be with someone high value, then you have to be high value, or else you're going to be just another option. I recently gave my take on the hot crazy matrix. It's called the Delta.
Man, this guy has some complex math going on. Holy shit. Bad boy, mild situationship, good situationship, settling, mistake, creep, friend zone, husband.
The hot index.
Prince charming, not gonna happen, / one night stand. Holy shit, this guy has a two-dimensional space of delta H minimum. Oh, I love this stuff. I love this stuff. Brilliant.
And this is the women's side.
So that's the attractiveness difference. So when you go from here, you have a minimal attractiveness difference. So you can get friend-zoned because you're too much in close to this. Oh, I guess that the negative starts here. So if that's the zero, then that's the point at which you are equally beautiful. Now, you are husband zone, either because you are equally beautiful or slightly more beautiful or slightly less beautiful. And if you're too low on the beauty compared to her, you become in the friend zone. And if you're really more ugly, you can become into the creep territory. And then if you're just beautiful, you become Prince Charming. Or if you're very beautiful, not gonna happen, / one night stand. So basically she uses you for sex tourism because you have muscle, but she's not truly interested in you. And then the y-axis, I wonder what it is. Crazy. So it's the craziness axis. So if crazy, stupid, the stupid axis. So if you are too stupid, you fall in those categories. If you're good, what is this ghost section here? So those are the homeless people. Okay, they're just very stupid to date and very low attractiveness. Okay. And then you have the bad boy here at the high stupid of the scale. Okay, I will need some explanations on this. Oh, ghost means ghosted. You will be ghosted if you have high stupidity and low attractiveness. Okay. And I think this guy put a lot of heart in his math work here.
This is called the Delta Hot Index. And this is the women's side. These are relationships with men who have a lot less value than you. And these are relationships with men who have a lot more. Women often tend to end up in this situationshipy area because they go for a high value man. And they assume that they can just be the table and relax and have fun all the time. But when a man is bringing this much value, he needs to feel like he's getting the same amount back. I think she just found this out the hard way.
Girls think that they want to date a high-value man until he starts calling you out for not taking responsibility, before he starts holding you accountable, before he has higher standards for you than you have for yourself.
It sounds like she wanted to be a princess and it didn't work out. This is the princess treatment flowchart. Girls who want to be princesses, usually they start by...
The princess treatment flowchart. The man simping, this is how it's always happened for me. If you don't simp, she leaves you. If you simp...
Demanding simping. That's where you do everything and she does nothing, as depicted here. So if the man does not simp for her and she doesn't understand why, she might move on to the next guy, in which case her age will go up and value reciprocally down. But if the man does...
Oh my God, it's a feedback relationship. Can you imagine some of these girls? They beg for simping. It doesn't work. They get older. They beg more for simping. It's a reinforcing loop.
Choose to simp. That's where.
That's called HOMAT, Jason. H-O-E, math.
He offers lots and lots of value in exchange for nothing. Often, there is a request for reciprocation. I think that's where she is now. And what's her assessment?
So this girl has just realized that she has to reciprocate.
I've never heard anyone talk about, like, actually dating a high-value man takes a totally different kind of woman. I have other friends who are dating, like, very loving, very successful, perfectionist, ambitious men, and it is not for the weak.
I think we might be.
The phenomenon of looping that I described already has a name. DK Shadow says it's called Eternal Hoe Recurrence. Okay. The red pill sector is filled with new developments that I didn't know about. Very interesting thinking. Justin X has new rules that officially allow porn now, Axios reports. Well, the way it happened is that it's not really that they're opening a whole new permission for porn. It's just that before there was porn, there's always been porn, and the rules weren't mentioning porn specifically. Now the rules are saying specifically, yes, you can upload porn. We need it to be consensual, consensually distributed, and consensually produced. So that may mean that only the porn star or agency can push porn onto Twitter. And what they also need as a big rule is it needs to always be identified. You need to check a checkbox that says not safe for work. But I don't think we're going to start seeing porn all of a sudden much more than there already was. Some people are ripping their shirt over this. I don't see it as a problem. First, you can totally click do not show sensitive media. So you can totally click it out of your account and you won't see any. I think it's fine that porn is there. You know, sometimes I wouldn't want to publish just porn, but perhaps to work on, you know, reinstating the beauty standards, because the whole conception of female beauty is gone from the public space. People don't even know anymore what is beautiful. I keep seeing on our Discord server, the guys keep publishing ugly woman just with enormous boobs and enormous ass. It's like, you guys don't know what beauty is. And sometimes, perhaps I wouldn't put just raw porn on my channel, but perhaps I could put soft porn or just beautiful females to show, look, this is what beauty looks like, not your fat asses that you guys are uploading on an everyday basis, you fucking perverts. Shamrock Shake says, easy access to porn ruins teens. Does it? I keep hearing this. I keep seeing no evidence of it. Big Tech Exodus says, reinstating beauty standards with tons of makeup. I mean, makeup. There are girls who are beautiful without makeup. There are women who are beautiful without makeup. I sure, makeup can lead to kind of a perfect looking style, but it's not needed. Cringe Panda says, we're going through a time when way too many people are posting horrifying crap from Gaza without marking it as sensitive. I'm tired of seeing babies getting decapitated. Well, you know, you have to work on your own Twitter account. You have to block people. You have to mute people. Personally, I've done this across the years, and my Twitter gives me what I want to see. Because my Twitter knows, okay, JF has blocked 20,000 people across the years. They were all this kind of people, and so we're not going to show him that. Nicholas Petris says, non-makeup beauty is so much better. Absolutely, that's also my view. Makeup is kind of an interesting thing, maybe once a year, maybe twice a year, but ultimately on the everyday, it boils down to the natural beauty of your girlfriend. This is what will strike you the most, and this is what is important. Nuance Bro says, yo, Elon Musk, can we... So this was the discussion that led Elon Musk to be completely lost a few days ago, where he said, why do people complain that that we will have their addresses? Why would we have your addresses? And it's like, bro, you don't even know your system. I've been going through this crap system of forced identification. My girlfriend saw me. I spent a whole hour and a half in my studio just trying to pass the card, and they were refusing, and they're making you pass all these tests to see that you're human, but these tests are crap. And then the system had a backend server error, so I had to redo all of it. It was extremely long, and most importantly, it does give your address to the Israelis. A firm called Authentix that is staffed by the kind of people who got engaged in intelligence services before, who got engaged even, it seems, who got engaged in security agencies and perhaps mercenary work of some kind. So this is the kind of background of the people who now run these modern intelligence agencies. And now the game is a whole new game. It's not about paper and pen information. It's all about mass data. That's what the intelligence community is interested in these days. And if you can have the addresses and pictures of the driver's license and passports of all ex-users, and you can have in parallel a characterization of their ideology, you can literally find who are the 50,000 people who are most problematic across the planet. Who are the 50,000 people that Israel would rather be dead? And now you have a problem. Now you have a problem because you have an infinite flow of money toward an interested group paid for by the American Congress that can put hits on people's heads. And that those hits can be hitmen literally murdering you if you're a real good case, or it can be hit pieces in the media. So you have a huge problem at the idea that Israel owns everyone's driver's license. And yet that is what people are accusing of Elon, because it's what he did. So it started, of course, it's been going on for months. People again and again have tweeted at Elon that what he's doing is bad. Now, Censored Man tried one last attempt on May 22nd and said, X now requires ID for monetization. Every creator and everyone who aspires to be on a monetized X creator must oppose this. And Nuance Bro brought it up and said, yo, Elon, can we have an American alternative for ID verification, please? There are legit concerns about how these Israeli companies are tied in with Israel intelligence. Maybe ALX, you can get your boy to give users this option, because ALX is a big Twitter user that often has interacted with Elon Musk. And then he says, might I suggest ID.me as an alternative? It's an American company founded by an Army Ranger. Seems like a better option than a foreign company linked with Israel intelligence. So here, this is not better. It's not a better proposition, because the problem is the American intelligence and Israeli intelligence are not two separate entities. It's worse than you think. It's like American intelligence may be more dangerous and more tied to Israeli interests than even Israeli intelligence. Because at least the Mossad, you know, they have this Middle Eastern concern. Like, they're dealing with terrorists and potential bombings. And so the Mossad agents, they're not the kind to think about JF on an everyday basis. But the American intelligence community, even if you can have an army ranger or, oh, we're going to put a Christian in charge of it, it's like, no, the entire field, your staff, your executive layers, just like it was the case with Twitter, it's all going to be a bunch of people who are trained in gay hops, like this guy that was in charge of Twitter safety, literal gay ops, and they're going to do their little plans, and the same will happen in America. So the only solution really is to stop asking people to ping with their private location, Elon. I mean, you said it yourself. It would be a breach of the rules of Twitter to expose addresses publicly. But how is that not a breach to force users to do it to an intelligence service that has no obligation of privacy toward them? At least when I go see my doctor, I know that the doctor is forced by his medical standards to give me some degree of privacy. I know that the secretary who takes my name will not have a discussion with anyone outside the hospital about the fact that I was there. Which is why I can still go to hospitals without getting bombed and without getting harassed. But ID.me or Authentics, they don't have these obligations because they're not tied to any form of contractual obligations other than, oh, we have deleted the driver license within 30 days. That's their only contractual obligation. But here's the problem. Even if you delete the driver's license after 30 days, this doesn't tell me that you haven't uploaded the driver's license to an independent corporation. There's nothing in those rules that says we can't also, while we delete the driver's license, upload it to Mossad, upload it to our GayUps Discord server. So because you don't have these obligations, we are obligated to believe that you must be using them in some nefarious ways. Or else you would bind yourself, you would write it down, you would say, we commit to never leaking your information to anyone. But you don't do that. So you have a nefarious intent. And Elon Musk, at least I like that the conversation is starting with Elon Musk, because he said today, we'll investigate. But Elon, don't just investigate this. ID.me as an alternative to Authentics. Investigate how could you do what you're doing without any sort of leaking of someone's address. That's what we need. I explained to Elon because he was saying, why would we have your home address? I said, this is ridiculous. Elon Musk acts like he's unaware of the process of ID verification. Let me paint it out for you, Elon. You submit a photo of your passport. Their program says too low quality. You're then forced to try with a driver's license, which has your address on it. Now Israel stores the picture for 30 days, they say. But within those 30 days, they leak that information to other players by pinging their secret services and asking intentionally leaky questions like, is it true that this person lives at this address? Or they just leak the pictures of your ID. No one will ever know. Then you wake up months later and you're getting murdered by a hitman for opposing Israel. Or your family is getting targeted by harassment. Or some guy tries to groom your children into getting in some trouble. Or some journalist doxes you. How did it all happen? It happened because you, Elon Musk, have been stupid with your requirements. Every single thing that I've listed there, except being murdered by a hitman, has been happening to me. There's always these weird people showing up in your life. Somehow they knew you were there, and they call some services on you. Can you have a wellness check on this guy? And they try to put you in trouble. Or they report you to some police or agencies. And then the police displays a public call for one of your loved one and reveals your location by doing so. It's always this kind of stuff. And when you're a dissident, it happens way too often for it to be a random occurrence. You end up believing there must be people in the back of the scene, behind the veil, typing and just furiously pursuing their gay ops, just to crash people's lives. And giving these people my address is physical danger for me, Elon. You have to understand, you may lead to the death of people with your behavior right now. Now, of course, Elon will not retweet my tweet because that would give him, that would make him aware and therefore responsible for what happens. So, of course, he will keep ignoring as if that tweet didn't exist. But I believe he has seen, if not my tweet, some of these tweets. And I believe he is aware of the problem. But if he was to retweet it, there would be a public record that he knew about the dangers of his own decision making. So go ahead, Elon, don't retweet it, but make the changes. Make the changes. Something happened today that I never thought would happen. I'm apparently edgy in Thailand. So we have reached a point where Thailand has been westernized enough that my commentary has reached Thailand and is now causing scandal. I've never seen this on a reply. I've had big tweets of millions of views, but never it has been the case on a reply that I have these kinds of viewership. My reply has 200,000 views. It was someone who had initially asked, can someone explain to me why there are so many men who transition to women in Thailand specifically? And I was like, oh, transitioning, biology of sexes, tourism, sexual tourism, Asian woman, those are all my big hitters. Those are all my specializations. And so I know how to, I know what's happening. It's like, I know why I have a hypothesis for this girl. So I answered. There is a correlation between sexual tourism and prostitution and transition everywhere in the world. See, I was thinking, Thailand is a center of tourism, say, as opposed to China. Thailand has more trans. Now, you can even look at the city level in America, and the more tourism a city has, the more it's a big city, the more it has leftists, the more it has prostitution, the more it has drugs, and the more it has gender transitioning. So that seemed like an obvious observation to me. From city level to national level to planetary level, you need a couple of ingredients for transition to happen. And it's to have some kind of westernized leftist sphere with prostitution, with drugs, with big cities. And there you go. And ultimately, what is transition? What is transition? Transition is the decision that the female form is more desirable than the male form. And so where is it? Where is it that you would want to be more a female? It's in those places where females have an opportunity that males don't have. And that is sex work in Thailand. And so I'm like, I'm sure of my hypothesis here. I'm just going to lay out this theory. This is not going to make any wave. I'm just sharing on Twitter. So I said, there is a correlation between sexual tourism and prostitution and transition everywhere in the world, because being female looking increases access to the work market in these domains. Thailand is just high sexual tourism. Thailand just happens to be a high sexual tourism place. Therefore, there's an interest to be a female there, because imagine you're a guy in Thailand. I mean, you can be on the specialized homosexual tourism market. You can get Western dicks in your ass, but you're going to have HIV, and it's not comfortable. At some point, it's painful. So imagine the ease of transitioning, first for the Asian phenotype, which is highly effeminate already. So basically, they're already there. A little makeup, and they're good. And as I was explaining, the whole dynamic of the blow job has totally changed the meta of sexual tourism, because a blow job is something that's imitable by males without any sort of surgery. I mean, just put makeup on and be Asian, be effeminate already. You're basically a girl from a blow job's perspective. New guy says, wait, what? What I'm trying to explain to you is you don't need a vagina to make a blowjob. And we're trying to explain why is there so much trance in Thailand. And someone answered to me then, sir, this is a Wendy's. And I was like, good point. Good, good point. DK Shadow says, the blowjob is not a new innovation. It's at least 2,000 years old. I know, and I've seen the science paper on blowjobs in bats, okay? I'm a biologist. I know about these things. But it's an innovation to the extent that the problem wasn't the performance of the blowjob before. It was the demand for the blowjob, because you wouldn't know that you want a blowjob until the rise of pornography. Pornography has made the blowjob accessible to the low-level men of the Western world. And they have enough money for tourism because of the planes. You had all of these ingredients come together to make the ladyboy blowjob a thing. And they start the left of Thailand, and this is where I'm fascinated. They're coming at me, and they're like, ching, chong, 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 chong. They are arguing with me, and I can't even understand what they're saying unless they translate to English. And what strikes me with this is, holy shit, Thailand has gotten westernized, because you guys are coming at me with leftist argument that I've been fighting for 15 years. It's like really base leftist Western crap. Like, I know this is not from your country, Thailand. I've never had to go to Thailand. I know it doesn't come from you. Those are arguments that come from the Western world. You have been westernized, Thailand. You've been leftistized. And now they argue against me, and it looks like, honestly, some ChatGPT cheap generated arguments. Let's have a look at the argument. Look. Wow. This is so wrong at many levels. First, Thailand has a long history of cultural acceptance and recognition of transgenders, making them feel more supported in their transitions compared to other parts of the world. This visibility encouraged them to live openly as themselves. Second, your assertion perpetuates harmful stereotypes. Many transgender individuals pursue a wide range of careers and should not be solely associated with sex work. Your view overlooks the diverse aspirations and achievements of transgender people in Thailand and elsewhere. Third, Thailand's healthcare advancement provides comprehensive support for transgenders, making it a more supportive environment. I mean, tell me that this comes from this Thai prostitute right here. It doesn't come from her. She doesn't even exist. This is an account posing as female, publishing ChatGPT crap all day long. I mean, I can see in your English writing that it's not you. I can see this is not the Thailand that I know. And by the way, am I the only one? But when someone from your family tells you he's going to Thailand, I'm like, holy shit. To me, it's like admitting to me that you're a pedo. Because you're going to Thailand to fuck very young people, basically. And, oh, yeah, we can argue whether they're 16 or what's the law there. But basically, you're going to Thailand to fuck, for money, people who are prostitutes since they're 5 years old. Personally, when someone comes to me and says, I'm going to Thailand, he might as well tell me, Jeff, I'm a pedo. I've decided to come out of the closet. To me, it throws a cold in the conversation, which as an artist, you know, there's not many things you can tell me that will put me discomfortable like this. But when that comes, it's like silence. I'm like, really? Oh yeah? Okay. So you want to go there? Okay. You're going to visit places like I have like sweat coming from the side of my face and okay, it's your decision, you know, you do what you want with your money. Open Borders for Israel sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, are you going to watch this debate? Well, Greg from Countercurrents, to me, has been a dishonest player straight to my face. And he tried to get my YouTube account banned by using the F word just at the end of a debate against me because he was losing. So I've lost a lot of respect for him. Jared Taylor can be interesting. I might look it up. I might see it. But not with great interest, because I don't think that what will come from Greg Johnson, I don't think it's very interesting. So this is bullshit. You Thai people, and some of them are countering, like, Thai's sex tourism industry is just 7.1% of... And they're like, they're trying to make the case that there's so many more things in Thailand than sex tourism. I mean, it remains the case that if you deny this reality to yourself, they're Thai people, okay? And maybe later someone can have my voice translated by AI into your language. What I'm trying to explain to you guys, okay, is Thailand's sex industry, this is a scientific fact. Thailand's sex industry is among the largest per capita in the world. In the fucking world, okay? You are a cultural center of human trafficking. You have a trick to bring... you basically have... Your whole shtick is you found a trick to attract old white boomers' money to your island. And this trick is to basically sexually exploit your youth. And as a result of this, your entire youth is all basically born to be prostitutes. Okay? I know some of them will end up, you know, laying asphalt and finding work at the grocery store. I know. But ultimately, your entire society revolves around trapping money from the outside through fake displays of love, providing of sex, providing of fake girlfriend status in order to attract the white man. Everyone knows it. It's how your little girls are being raised. And as a result, you are setting yourself away. Lendalt Guntram says, Thailand is not exactly an island. I don't even want to get into this philosophical question, okay? But what call it a landmass of sorts. Your landmass is you have sold your youth sexually, not for their own interest, but for your GDP. that, and basically it's going to be that way until the Muslims take over. And on that day, the Muslims will just make a nation that's much less interesting for people outside, but that will at least have some morals at the sexual level. Theon says JF can save Thailand. I could, but I don't want to. I could, but no one ever listens to my counsels, so I won't. There's also the whole I'm Thai. I'm Thai, and this is such bullshit. To give you a correct answer is simple. They just want to be what they want. And they can be whatever they want to be. Stop commenting misleading information. What the fuck is this? This is not an argument. I'm making a statement of fact, and you're making a statement of value. That's just what they want to be. Well, that doesn't change that what they want to be is female-looking, and as it turns out, they end up in these ladyboys, massage centers, and prostitute centers. It's irrelevant what they say they want to be. And a lot of the replies I receive is just per Thai, just ununderstandable gibberish. So this, I cannot reply to it, but just to show you how it looks. It's like this. Ching chong 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 chong, ching chong, so dumbass. Ching chong chong. Well, okay. Okay, I'm barring Thailand from the potential places of escape. I don't know what's the status of the government there, but I'm not getting into a country where like 200,000 people hate me. From a civil rights perspective, that's not feasible. What do we have before we conclude the show? Oh yeah, just to show you the whole bullshit of the GameStop, and we had a super chat. Doubting Thomas said, Jeff, go easy on the people of Thailand. You are going to get the less fortunate in our community who need to resort to finding women in Thailand blacklisted. Word gets around fast. What the fuck is this, Doubting Thomas? Is this some sort of Thailand cookie? You are going to be less fortunate. Do not insult Thailand. Insulting Thailand makes you much, much less fortunate. Does Thailand have Chinese cookies? I thought it was a Chinese thing. You're getting me confused here. Less fortunate. Not good. Not lucky. Okay, maybe it's a Thai thing too. I don't know how it works. Just to show you how much shit there is around this GameStop thing. Roaring Kitty. The guy who's at the origin of the initial GameStop meme, he's very much behind the current rise. And he's been making apparently up to $85 million. I don't know what was in his initial sum, but he's now at $85 million. Total gain like 76%, 31% here. He's making big gains on this mimetic around GameStop. Meanwhile, a lot of people are buying the peaks and then falling. Buying the peaks, falling. Just like Dave Portnoy.
I'm getting smoked today. It's been a crazy day. That's why I'm doubling up on DDTG. Currently, and I'm beginning to wonder, am I just a big mark for Roaring Kitty? Like, is that what this game is? Like, Roaring Kitty flips the Uno card, the reverse Uno. I grab my hammer. I come running into the stock market with a big fucking sucker on my forehead. And is he selling? Is Roaring Kitty selling right now? And my buying is allowing him to sell? I'm not accusing him. I'm just asking him. Because all I know is whenever I buy GameStop, I get my dick ripped off my body.
Poor Dave Portnoy. He misses on Bitcoin. This guy shouldn't have that much money to waste on the market. Poor Dave Portnoy makes all the bad decisions. But yeah, so it's very simple. We saw Andrew Tate meme on this GameStop thing for 24 hours. So I can see the pattern here. Someone close to Roaring Kitty interest or whatever started memeing on GameStop. Someone paid Andrew Tate maybe $1 million, $2 million to bark on GameStop. And Roaring Kitty in parallel published his ad. And that was it. So it sent GameStop rising high, but for a very short amount of time. And a lot of people must have been caught in the drop rather than in the high. Now today there was a slightly slight pump. Okay, but it's like it's you're just fucking up people financially. And meanwhile, there are some players who know what's about to happen, who know they've fed Andrew Tate, who know that Roaring Kitty is about to put his ad, and they're the ones making money. Those people who act before you. So that's why I'm never recommending that you get into GameStop memes, because you never know how short the mimetic rise will be today. That is it for tonight. Much love. I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you.